What's up, everybody? Welcome into Pace the Nation. We're broadcasting remotely today. We are in Richmond, Virginia, on location at the Relay Goods Warehouse. I'm your host, Chris Farley. Alongside me, two important figures here in Relay Goods. I've got the CEO of Relay, Patton Gleason. Patton, hello. How are you doing?
Chris, how you doing, brother?
Good to see you. We also have the CMO of Relay. It's Julie Cully. Julie, what's up?
Wow, this is the first time you're addressing me by my full name.
Well, usually you're podcast partner on Pace the Nation, but today
I wear a lot
I'm
of hats.
Playing the host. Excited to be here in Richmond, Virginia. Not only is this the warehouse, Patton, what do we call this?
This is a shoe lab.
The shoe lab.
This goes beyond a warehouse.
Yes.
The level of quality control, experimentation. This is something that Alexander Graham Bell would be proud of.
He would be. And it's basically you live here as well. So, I mean.
Yes, this is second home. This is second home.
There's got to be a Murphy bed around here. We got to inspect.
Probably.
Absolutely. Hey, when the job requires long hours and there's a big task ahead, you got to be all in.
I love it.
And we're certainly all in.
There's no doubt. All right. So Patton is the creator of the business. We've talked a lot about Relay and what Relay has done for the last couple of years, and now we're finally here on location to talk officially about it on the Pace the Nation podcast, and we'll use this for other platforms as well for Relay. We're going to talk today about a number of things, but let's start out with our unique relationship with the retail stores and how Relay interacts with the retail stores. I'm going to start with the CEO, Patton. Yep. What is the relationship? What do we do with retailers?
They're an instrumental part of the business, so they're one of those really, really important cogs. Retailers face a really, just like brands do, but they face that same challenge of returns and older inventory. They're balance sheet busters. It's excess inventory that is not necessarily appropriate for a really high touch, super high quality in-store experience. And so for years, they had this challenge, but there wasn't any really great solution. And so in steps Relay that is able to help those retailers either get cash or credits for those items. And then that inventory, rather than being sold and made disappear in a place where they didn't know, it's now, they know exactly where it's at. And then those retailers, on the off chance there was an old model that they were hanging on to for a long time because they knew at some point they had a long time customer that was going to come in for it, and then were able to get it, they're able to focus on their new stuff, and then that customer comes in a little while later, then the retailers still have access to that inventory. So we could kind of offer the best of both worlds, where there was a solution for that returns and older inventory, and if they still needed access to it, they could still have that. And part of that ethos was, and we talked about a lot about this today, was retailers did a phenomenal job of growing and building community. There's nobody on the planet who's more important in terms of building and fostering local running communities. And Relay could come in, and so not only could we solve this inventory challenge, but we could kind of piggyback on that effort, and by having product that was a little bit more approachable from a price perspective, we could help to expand those efforts, and we could help to grow and invite more people into this space, into the sport that we all really, really love. So retailers have been some of our earliest and most important partners, and that ethos of let's win together runs really, really true. And so I think the Relay business model, A, it only makes sense if retailers are getting a win. If they're able to get some form of cash or credits for their older inventory and returns, and then can also participate in the upside of either a revenue share in selling or in having access to that product.
And Julie, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Now, we're all from specialty-run retail. So tell the audience where you worked, where Patton worked, and where I worked. On the floor, fitting shoes, some of us recently, some of us years ago. So name those stores. Can you do that for us?
Okay. I worked for Sneaker Factory in New Jersey.
There we go. Yep.
And Pacers Running.
Yep, in correct. So you work for
both
two.
The Clarendon location and the Old Town location. Yep. Chris Farley, I believe, worked for Pacers running. Okay. Got it. Nailed it.
Yep.
Okay. And Patton Gleason was raised in run specialty through Luke's Locker.
That's right. Correct.
In Texas.
Dallas's own. You bet.
Yep.
One of the originals.
Yep. So
did I get it? Did
you
I
nailed
nail
it. Okay. Well done. So, so you know, the retailers and brick and mortar retail is super important to the business. And you can kind of expand on what Patton said, but we're authentic in that. We've worked it. We know how important they are to the whole ecosystem of selling shoes.
Yeah, absolutely. All of us were raised within run specialty. I know I started in run specialty as a teenager and went from being an athlete into really looking at the industry in a completely different way and fitting people for shoes and understanding communities. And that really runs true through all the experiences that we have collectively here, which is why I think we've all been able to you know, not only start the business, but then really amplify the business, is just really understanding the opportunity. And it really comes from a deep, deep love of running and wanting to share running and wanting to make running more accessible and being thoughtful about the way in which we consume. I think that's top of mind for all of us every day.
All right, and we're going to get we're going to take a break in a second here, but before we do that, again, if you're a retailer listening and you've got some excess inventory, Patton, how do they turn that excess into access?
It's actually really, really easy. So we have we built an appraisal process, an appraisal tool. So a retailer can send in a list of UPCs, and then in kind of that ethos of complete transparency, they'll get a market value for what each one of those is, what each one of those is worth. And then based on that market value, an offer for those things. It's free, there's no obligation. And then it serves kind of two purposes. It draws this line in the sand for how much is this really worth, and then what a retailer can do is, does this make the most sense to kind of be free and clear of it and to focus on our full price product or full price customers, or this is what the market value is, and it actually makes a little bit more sense for us to take it to an expo, to do a sidewalk sale, but it gives them a basis point of the market is, this is what the market is for this particular product. And for a new inline product, that's really easy because it's MSRP. But older product, there's so many variables because you may have a model where at the end of its life, manufacturing numbers were really low. And as the global supply for that dwindles down, that value can actually go up. Or conversely, where there was a lot of saturation for a particular product and some overlap with a newer model, then that particular one might have a slightly lower value. And so it ends up being this great information. We've got the tools that we've spent a decade building that really gives the best value for these things. So now the same information that we're dealing with, the retailer has access to as well.
So reach out to Relay Goods. You can reach out to Julie at relaygoods.com. I'm going to put her on that. And if you're a retailer out there, because we have gotten a lot of questions since the Runner's World article came about Relay Goods. So last one, and then we're going to take a quick break. Do you think we're cannibalizing retailer sales?
This is such a great question. And I also personally thought about this a lot because, so again, coming from it, the last thing that we would want to do is to even have the perception of we were cannibalizing or in some way impacting full price sales. And I ended up having, after doing a deep dive on our customers, two big thoughts came to it. One is there's nobody on the planet who does a better job of customer education than the retailers. And if we think about it like traditional schooling or higher education, there's also a graduation point. So at some point, your customers get enough information and knowledge that really high touch handholding experience, they don't necessarily need, and they kind of graduate from it. And what was happening in the channel was we were losing people to other marketplaces, whether it was Amazon or eBay, where people were taking the knowledge and experience they'd gained in a store, and then they were leveraging it to find a deal on something that they wanted. And we didn't have a native channel solution, so it was kind of the first part. So in our deep dive with Relay customers, we found that it wasn't people who were like, oh, well, I was going to go in a store and now I'm not. We find that it was people who just kind of graduated and maybe started their running or shopping journey, but in at least all of our instances, hadn't been in a store in years. The other one on the... in terms of like the cannibalization or validating how important brick and mortar retail is, the retail business model exists because most customers are not very good at fitting themselves. Sure. And so e-commerce puts the showroom inside of somebody's living room. The volume of returns that we get speaks to the value of brick and mortar retail. And so for consumers' ability to go in and to have the best selection of not only the from one brand from but from a ton of different brands and different sizes to actually have their foot measured by an expert and all the process that goes into fitting there is so valuable. Like if there's ever a validation for why brick and mortar is really important, if you were to see the number of returns that come back from people trying to fit themselves, there's a misalignment on what's the most effective. So in terms of fitting and getting it right the first time, brick and mortar wins 10 times out of 10. It's absolutely the best. And what we find, at least for a lot of our customers, is those people early on their running journey are still going to brick and mortar. And when we get customers like, hey, I'm getting started, what would you suggest? We routinely will ask for a zip code, and then we find the closest independent retailer and point them in that direction and say, this season that you're in, the best thing that you could do is to go into Sneaker Factory or Pacers or Luke's Locker. They're going to take great care of you, ask a ton of questions, try on a ton of times. That's exactly what they're there for, and you're going to start on the right foot. It's really, really important that they start on the right foot.
All right, that's Patton and Julie. We got Brandon behind the camera. I'm Chris. We're at Relay Goods here. We're at the Relay Shoe Lab here in Richmond, Virginia. This is Pace the Nation. We're going to take a quick break and be right back after this. All right, welcome back to the program. We are Pace the Nation here in Richmond. We are with Julie and with Patton. Julie, the CMO of Relay Goods, and Patton, of course, is the CEO. I'm Chris Farley. Guys, we just had a great discussion about how we interact with retailers, and I wanted to tee up a couple more questions about another great partner that we have, the brands. So, obviously, we do not make shoes. We don't plan to make shoes.
Thank goodness we don't make shoes.
We will depend on our excellent brand partners. Talk about Patton, our relationships, and what great relationships we have with the brand partners.
They were integral into the buy-in. And so I think what the brands recognized was they were already making steps towards more sustainability and more circularity. A lot of that was in the materials that they were using, and they were working on some better outlets for some of that excess product. And where we could step in was we could take those great initiatives and efforts that they were doing, and we could really work to amplify it. And that commitment to excess into access, that came directly from the brands, and they have that deep commitment as well to grow the sport, to make it more accessible, to invite more people into this community. And they saw excess product as one of those ways in which to be able to do it. And as you've seen here in the warehouse, it's really hard. It takes a lot of people and a lot of space. And so if your efforts are focused on making the best product in the world and building community around that, introducing another element to be just as impactful can be really laborious. It's very expensive. It takes a long time to do. And so that's where kind of that partnership really came to fruition. They saw a need. They believed in our vision and purpose. It aligned with where they wanted to go as a channel. And so we can kind of piggyback on the great initiatives that they had, and then we could really ramp that up to 10. That commitment to zero waste, that commitment to highest value and best use of every single product, that aligned with their values. And so we took a lot of the initiatives and things that we've done here, all of that was done in concert with the brands. And then the other great thing that they had was they also had a sensitivity to, this initiative is really great, but we've got to find a way to include our retail partners. And that the phrase of let's win together came from one of our really important brand relationships. So it was a matter of timing. We had the right skill set. There were initiatives that they wanted to achieve, and by working together, we could better further those goals.
All right, Julie, you have worked at a big brand in the past. How much do these big brands talk about this excess underdog inventory?
Well, first off, I've had the distinct pleasure of working at Brooks for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I think what is really unique about what we're doing here at Relay is we are kind of echoing some of the values that I saw inside working for Brooks. So Brooks is making the best and some of the best running shoes in the world, performance run shoes. And then on top of that, they have at least two big goals that they announced while I was working there. One was to continue to grow the sport and really working hard to create more opportunities to invite more people into the sport. And then the other piece of that was a huge climate pledge that they made to get as carbon neutral as possible by, I believe it was 2040. And so they're starting to build more carbon neutral shoes and really thinking about their impact on the planet. So we had an opportunity here with Relay to really reflect a lot of what they're talking about there. We want to continue to grow the sport. We want to really be thoughtful about how we're treading when we are out there, you know, hitting the pavement and on trails and such. And then really thinking about how we can invite more people into running.
So the brands are thinking about it, and they at times maybe don't know what to do with the inventory, I would say. In your experience, being in this footwear logistics for quite a while, yeah. What was happening to this return, this underdog inventory?
So, Chris, that's just it. There was no one solution. It was, and you have to think in terms of the priorities. If you're a brand and trying to capture and establish market share and constantly introducing the highest quality performance products you can, that's at the tip top of your priorities list. And unfortunately, the excess that came from the excess that was happening had been really normalized over 100 years. The thing that came to fruition in the last 10 was the rise of e-commerce and the transfer of showrooms from independent dealers, and then having a bigger percentage of that being in people's homes, it left it without any really good solutions. And so the way that excess had previously been dealt with, there were outlet stores and expos, there was a lot of donations, there was also a lot of, it would kind of go off into the ether. There just weren't really great kind of industry native solutions, and the solutions that were available didn't keep up with the change of technology and then the change in consumer behavior. And Relay was that solution that was native to the industry, but was a more modern approach to dealing with excess that, A, it solved the problem in a way that grew the number of runners and athletes and was able to expand that area. The other way, because it was native to the industry, the values and goals were aligned with our brand and retail partners.
I want to transition a little bit towards what Julie was talking about, sustainability, and making this a circular process here at Relay is super important. Why is that? Why is that so important to us? Why is that so important to us to be successful as a brand at Relay?
I am going to steal a line from the legendary Yvon Chouinard. And a lot of what our ethos, we've taken a lot of that from Patagonia, the way that they approach things. And in his masterful book, Let My People Go Surfing, he says that Patagonia's first call was not to be a sustainable company, but it was to be a responsible company. And I think that we took that ethos really, really seriously of, might you not be as effective as you could by purely trying to be more sustainable? And the other, that's been a little bit of a bastardized term that nobody's exactly sure what that means. That's not really concrete. And so could we take this idea that might have been a little bit more subjective and say, all right, objectively, how do we be more responsible? And by no means are we perfect. That target, I think, is always going to be constantly moving and evolving. So our first call is, how do we be more responsible and better stewards of this product? The first way we do that is with all the excess, we find a highest value and best use with a commitment to zero waste. Mm-hmm. We start there, and that's a really, great starting point. And what I believe will happen is the industry is incredibly dynamic, and our goals and objectives will likely change in the coming years. And there's likely solutions to how we can reduce our waste, shipping and transit times that we may be able to reduce, that reduce our carbon load. I think those, as the industry transforms and evolves, we're going to be right there leading the way in order to find better solutions. For us, the other one was, as wonderful as the running industry and channel is, there had not been products or a marketplace that was really geared towards that consumer, where circularity or sustainability was, that was kind of the first part of their buying filter. Mm-hmm. And there's more people who are really, they're really sensitive to it. And if, and it's not that they're opposed to new product, but if there's a way to buy or secure or source product that had previously been in the marketplace before buying something brand new, there's just the consumer behavior changed and the consumer values changed. And one of the great things that the brands get in partnering with Relay is, A, we get to help forward their sustainability and circularity goals, and B, we can really focus and hone in on that customer on their behalf. And that probably ties into, we take the stewardship of representing and presenting that brand, we take that really, really seriously. And a lot of times it's not so much that people are shopping at Relay or with Relay, they are looking for a specific model because there's a company that they really, really love, and Relay happens to be the conduit to it. And so that idea of us being a good steward of that product and that brand, so that customer has a wonderful experience, and a lot of times they will, hey, I got a new pair of Brooks shoes, not I got a pair of shoes from Relay. And what we do see is we have, as the price point has increased for brands, there's a lot of consumers that might try a refreshed product from Relay as a way to intro into some of the other products that the brands have. So us being a good steward of that experience and of that brand is really, really important.
All right. So, Julie, you hear Patton say around the office, around the shoe lab here, let's win together a lot. So is winning together celebrating the stories and the efforts of our brand partners? Is that something we hope to be able to do in the future from the marketing side from Relay?
Yeah, absolutely. Patton is talking a bit about, you know, what we stand for as Relay and what we stand for as a brand. But we want to really celebrate, on top of that, all the work that the brands have already done. So many of the brands are in this re-commerce space. Some of our have been established for a few years now. Some of them are probably going to be launching in the next couple of months their re-commerce. And so there's a commitment to it already. There's pressure on the brands, and I think there's activism from the brands to be finding ways to, again, seek end of life for their product, right? We don't want a pair of running shoes getting tossed after a couple try-ons, or you know, really not being put on the feet of the people that we know that it could serve. And so they're doing an incredible job with their re-commerce sites and having real conversations about what this looks like. Their innovation is geared towards finding reusable and sustainable ways of manufacturing, which is massive. So again, what we talked about before was kind of reflecting those values, and that's what we want to continue to do with Relay, is really champion their efforts, talk about their efforts. You know, we think of ourselves as a leader and an emerging leader in this space, and really, you know, we're hopeful that we can continue to, you know, hold hands with the brands in this space to really champion, you know, thoughtful manufacturing and really thoughtful recirculation as a whole.
Very well said. You know, and there are folks out there, Low Impact Alliance, doing some great work.
Wonderful
so
work.
We want to partner with all those folks.
You bet. Yeah, and just like Julie said, I think we want to be the platform where we can speak about the things that are happening in the industry even if it's not happening directly through us, there's a lot of wins and some really meaningful initiatives and changes that have happened in the last couple of years. So for us to maybe promote or celebrate the victories that other people are having, the brands, they've got a lot of things that they're working really hard to promote. And so sometimes their sustainability initiatives, again, just in that priority list that falls towards the bottom, I would love for us to be, and we really have to this point, is celebrating those wins and those initiatives that they're getting that move the circular economy forward.
All right, that's Patton. And Julie, before we get out, one other thing.
Yeah, I really want to focus our efforts in the future on our industry together, right? So when we talk about Let's Win Together, what we're talking about here is Relay, retailers, and brands. I would love for this industry 5 to 10 years from now to be the leaders in fashion of this kind of circular economic approach that other industries are looking at running and saying, look what they've done. Because we're in a world where fast fashion is a real problem, and I think the fashion industry in general is fairly disjointed. And so I think our industry is big enough and small enough that we can make a huge difference, and we can be the leaders not only in our space, but elsewhere.
Well said. All right, we're going to get out of here, but before we do, where can you, if you're listening to this, if you're a brand, if you're a retailer, if you're a consumer, where am I finding all this great information or these products?
So on the consumer side, you can go to relaygoods.com. What I think is maybe the largest catalog of re-commerce product on the planet is available there. We have a incredible hospitality team. So questions on shipping on specific mm-hmm. products. We have a really phenomenal hospitality team. Those can be found there for brands and retailers. hello@relaygoods.com. And we're really easy to get in touch with.
From the marketing side, really excited about the social media. Are we going to see some new things happening there? Where can we find us on social media?
Yeah. You can find us on Instagram and on Facebook. We are also on Twitter, but we're really just getting started. So we've had the last couple of years has really been a focus on getting the operation of the business going. And so the operation is rocking and rolling and doing some incredible stuff. And so on the marketing side, it's time to really get our name out there and really teach our customers what we're all about. So you're going to see some effort from us in the next couple of months to really grow the business and build exposure.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate it coming on Pace the Nation. A little unique today, Julie. You're not hosting with me. I'm interviewing you. I think we've done that maybe once
before. We have
done
that before. And it's better with Patton.
Yeah, and a friend and a partner here in the business, Patton. Man, this has been fun. Appreciate we've been trying to do this with Patton for a while. It's finally here. He is hard to nail down.
Wait, so do we get to ask you any questions?
No. I don't think that. No, that's not the way this works. I like to control the mic, and I like to control the question.
So got it.
But
thank you for finally. It took Brandon to finally help us track him down and get him on mic here. So, well done, crew. Relaygoods.com, Relay on Instagram, on Facebook. Nicely done. Thank you guys.
Awesome. Thank
All
you,
right. This has been another episode of Pace the Nation. We are on site in Richmond. Thank you guys for listening. We will see you next time.